Are you in John chapter 8, verse 12? Right? So look at John 8, 12. It says, are we together? Let's read verse 12 together as a church. 1, 2, 3, go. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Right? So this is Jesus talking, and he's very emphatic about what he's saying. That he is the light of the world. Right? And he's very emphatic as well by saying, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the life of light. Before you go to John chapter 8, you would have read John chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1 quickly. John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Are we together? Then the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Look at verse 4. It now says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Look at verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, if you look at verse 14, it says, the Word was made flesh. So, if you look at verse 4 first, in him was life. Can we say in him is going to be in the Word? Right? Okay, look at verse 1 again. In the beginning was the Word. So, what is John discussing? The Word. Right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what?
God.
Was God. Right? It now says, in him was life, and the life was the light of what? Of men. Right? And the light was the light of men. So in him was life. He's talking about the Word that was spoken about in verse 1. Right? And the Word spoken about in verse 1 is the Word that became flesh in verse 14. Can you see verse 14? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Right? So the Word that was in the beginning, that was with God, and the Word that was God was made flesh. So it means that we'll see the Word become human, or we'll see the Word from the human perspective. Now, I told you that the existence of Jesus did not start from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right? The existence of Jesus did not start from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The existence of Jesus did not start from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus is the very God that has existed right from the very beginning. Are we together? So the God of Genesis 1 is Jesus, our God, our Lord and Savior. Are we together? So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is actually speaking about the existence of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, right from the beginning. So this Jesus that has existed from the beginning will now tell you in John chapter 8, and he will say, I am the light of the world, right? I'm the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. So go back to Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created, look at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So to walk in darkness from John 8, how would a man walk in darkness? Yeah, so go back to John 8. How will a man walk in darkness? Okay, start from it. How will a man not walk in darkness?
By following, right?
So it is by following that a man will not walk in darkness, right? So how will a man walk in darkness?
By not following.
So if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, and we said in the beginning was the Word, and we said that Word now said, I am the light. So if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you will see the Word. You should see the Word, really, right? And in seeing the Word, what else should you see? The Word that said, I am the light, it means you should see the light in Genesis 1. Did you get that? Right? So go back to Genesis 1, and it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So how will darkness be found? Or what is another way of saying darkness is found upon the face of the deep? Okay, so what did you say? Say it now. You said it now. What did you say?
Man was not following Jesus.
So how do you know it's man? Okay, because I've taught you before, right?
Yeah.
That the earth there will speak about the activities of men, right, that are not found in light, right? In case you missed that, you will see that from Mark 4, when Jesus will say, the sower sows the seed, right? And we said, an ideal sower sows the seed on the ground. But Jesus now teaches that actually this seed disappears from the heart of men. So it means that God is the chief sower that sows the seed of himself as the light in the heart of man. Are you following? God is the chief sower that sows the seed of light as himself to the heart of man. Then Paul will now tell you in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their hearts, their eyes, lest the light of the glorious gospel, right, of our Lord. Right? He now tells you in verse 6, for God who commanded to shine in our commanded light to shine out of darkness and shine in our hearts, right? To show the light of the knowledge of his glory, right? In the face of Jesus. So it means that in the real sense, Genesis chapter 1 will fundamentally show you followership and leadership. Are we together? Right? Who is leading? Jesus God is the word that is leading. Right? So Jesus Christ, Jesus God is the light that is leading. Then those that don't walk in light, right? So the light is to shine in darkness. What would darkness be? Our hearts, the heart of man. So the heart of man that was in darkness, when he receives light, what happens? He becomes a follower of light. Did you get that? So when you become born again, what have you received? You've received the word of God, that is, you receive God himself, that is, you've received the light of God. Are we together? So when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, it means that God is Jesus who will come into your life as light, and in giving you light, or in coming into your life as light, you have light. Say, I have light. Say, I'm full of light. So light fundamentally is a gift in Christ. You must never forget that. So there is no believer that lacks light. Light is a gift in Christ. Light is a gift that is gotten in Christ. So how does a man get light?
By believing,
which is by what? Following. So a man gets light by following, that is, by believing. So what is the following in John 8:12? Believing. Which is the same thing he has said in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So he already tells you everlasting life. He now tells you three chapters after, I am the light. So what does Jesus have in John 3:16 that he is giving man?
Life.
Right? So Jesus now tells you in John 8, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not what? Walk in darkness, but have the what? The light of life. So light of life, is, are they two different things or the same? Is it light that has light? Or is light a sub of light? Is light rather a sub of life?
No.
Right? Is light equal to life?
Yes.
So light is life. So what was God promising in Genesis chapter 1?
Life.
That is light. So when he says the earth was without form and void, how else can you say that? The earth was made up of people that were not following. How else can you say that? The earth was made up of people that did not have the life of God. Are we together? Right? So what did God now say? Bible now says, God said, let there be light. What is let there be light? The Spirit of God moved. Are we together? So let there be light will mean that let there be life. So what has God's promise been from time? Life. That is what? Light. So you can replace light with life as that which you've received because you are born again. Are we together? So you can say, I'm born again. That means I have the Spirit of God. You can say, I'm born again. That means I have the light of God. You can say, I'm born again. You can say, that means I have the life of God. You can also say, I'm born again. That means I have the light of life. Are you here? So the light that is a gift in Christ is Christ himself. Are we together? I'll say that again. The light that is a gift in Christ is Christ himself. I talked that over the weeks from John 14, right? John 14, 16, right? And I will pray the Father and he shall give you what? Another comforter. Verse 18 now tells you, I will not leave you comfortless, right? So the comforter that God or Jesus spoke about, another comforter, is actually Jesus himself. So Jesus is the comforter, that is the life, that is the life, that is the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Are we together? So you have life, you have light, you have comforter, right? You have the Spirit of God. There are not four different things that came into you. There are four different ways of expressing the life you receive by becoming born again, which is by following Jesus. Are we together? So he that followeth Jesus, something is sure. You see, when Jesus says it, it is what it is. So Jesus says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but what shall have the light of life. Just take it from him. Altogether. So there is no believer that lacks light. There is no believer that lacks life. So look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28. So look at Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the what? The end of the world. So what is he saying, or what is he teaching here? What does he mean by go ye therefore into the world and teach all nations? It is go into the world and supply light, that is supply life, that is supply the spirit. Are we together? Are we together? So go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the, that is, take on account of the work Jesus has done and go into the world to shine the light. Are we here? So look at Mark 16. Look at verse 15, Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? Condemned. So who is he that believeth? Is he that followeth. So what does he that followeth have?
Light.
Light, right? So it means the moment you believe, what do you have? Light. So it means right within your heart, or right within your person, or right within you, is the light of God resident. Altogether. So when you say you have the life of God, what are you saying? You have the light of God. So you cannot have the light of God and be looking for light elsewhere. Are we together? Right? You can't. How would you think of somebody who is actually having a torchlight and is using his torchlight to look for another light that is not another light to see? Well, you might think about it from the place of maybe the other light he's looking for is a greater light. But you know the light you receive is the greatest of light. Are we together? So you cannot have the greatness or the greatest of life and now be looking for how to receive another light. Every other light you would want to find, right, might end up leading you to darkness. Strange. Are we together? Every other light you will try to find with the light you already have might end up leading you to darkness. So there are certain things that are actually just plain, and you just actually have to pay attention to God's word. Right? We'll look at that shortly. Look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Ephesians 5, 8. Are you there?
Yeah.
Look at what it says. Ephesians 5, 8. It says, for ye were sometimes what?
Darkness.
Is that Genesis 1?
Yeah.
Earth without form, void, darkness upon the face of the deep.
Yeah.
Right? So you were one, you were sometimes darkness. But now are ye what? Light. Now let me ask you a question. Did every man on earth automatically become a sinner because of Adam's sin?
Yeah.
Right? You want to, you know, ponder on that question a little more. Are we together? You know, a lot of us teach, I mean, it's in scripture, Romans 5, Romans 8, and Romans 9 all the way. A lot of us believe that we are all sinners because of Adam's sin. And that's very strange to believe, right? Because, you know, even the direct offspring of Adam, Abel, was accounted in scripture as a man of faith. Are we together? Right? So Adam's sin did not make everybody on earth sinners. Are we together? Yeah? That is what you call the doctrine of universalism. Right? By one man, everybody sinner. If you're not careful, what you will teach by extension is that by Jesus' resurrection, everybody is what? Saved. Hallelujah. Right? So you were in darkness. How do you think you were? You got in darkness. Go back to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 2. Verse 1. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, and you had he quickened who were dead in sins. How else can you say dead in sins and trespass?
In darkness.
Beautiful. Yeah? So, look at this in verse 2. Wherein in time past you became... Is that what is there? Wherein in time past ye walked according... Are you here? Ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the what? The lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, has what? Brought you into light. Does that make sense? As much into light. You see that? So wherein in time past you walked? Was it Adam that worked for you? So what did Adam do? Adam put a template. Man followed. And from then, man has always followed. Are we together? Right? So there was a template that was put on ground. And in the real sense, we see that Cain and Abel had a choice to follow or not follow. Did you get that? So who followed the right template? Abel. Who followed the wrong template? Okay. Are we together? Right? So in the real sense, we will see that options has always been available for man from time. You get that? So if you look at, so mind you, Paul is writing in Ephesians and talking to apostles. So if you look at chapter 5, blessed apostles, students, believers. So look at chapter 5 verse 8, Ephesians 5, 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Okay, so is there a being light and walking as light?
Yeah.
Are they the same?
Walking as light.
Is there a difference between being light and walking as light?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is there a difference between walking as light and being light?
Yes.
You think there is? Right? Between being light and walking as light. You think there is? You sure? You think so? You don't know. You know so. So you're using English to interpret it. So there's a difference between being light and walking as light. Yes or yes?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Right? Because walking as light will be a deliberate action you will take. Being light is what a deliberate action Jesus has taken that he has given to you. So that's what Paul is teaching here. So Paul is saying, ye are light, walk as children of light. Look at verse 1. Start from verse 1, Ephesians 5, 1. Be ye therefore followers of God. Is that be ye therefore followers of light? What does it mean to be followers of light? Walking in light. So there's walking in light and there's being a child of light. Unfortunately, we live in a world right now where people think that because they are children of light, there is no expectation of walking in light. Altogether, you see some people's Instagram page, for instance, and you see them child of light on their bio, and everything on their page is darkness. Are we here? Are we gonna? Right? You see, like literally all the captions of their pictures is actually I'm a child of light. But every picture they are posting is darkness. He's walking in darkness. Altogether. So you must understand always there's a cause of this world. Altogether. And there's a cause of Christ. Right, so that you are a member of the family of light, which is the family of Christ, doesn't mean by default you walk. See, that walk becomes your activity that you will deliberately keep doing. Are we together? Are we here? So it means that whilst you understand that you have light in you, there's an expectation. You know, unfortunately, what people hear when they hear people like us talk is that we are saying that live your life anyhow you want to live, and tomorrow things will be okay. Are we together? Right? You know, God sees the what? God sees the heart. Then man sees the outside. right? I'm not saved to serve man. I'm not saved for man. You know, it's not my business. Men should remain anyhow they want to be. Man, I want to teach believers, believers' conduct, believers' love walk over time, definitely, but gradually, right? But there are certain expectations that are actually, by default, required from you as a believer. Altogether. You see some people, their lives in the real life, outside the church, directly opposite to what they portray in church. Are we together, right? And they back it up with God sees our hearts. Are we together? Why do you think that getting saved doesn't mean automatically leaving the earth? It is because there's a difference between being light and walking as light. Did you get that? There's a difference between being light and walking as light. So it means that as a believer, you would need to actually pay attention to the light you have so you walk as the light you have. Altogether. So there are certain things that you... So by default, let them say it this way. There is not one single believer who has light by default, right, that doesn't know what to do. Let me say it differently. There's not one single believer who doesn't know that what they are doing is wrong by the inward witness. There's not one single believer who doesn't know that if they steal... The only reason why you see a believer will steal and steal again is he has killed the voice of the inward witness in them, in himself. Mm-hmm. And you know the funny thing? Whether you kill the voice or you don't kill the voice keeps talking. The voice keeps speaking. Because God is a family God. God is a father. He will speak to his child. Altogether. So don't be that person who will get himself or herself in a place where your heart is dead to the voice of God. You see, you know that it is by practicing very basic things on earth that you actually get accustomed to God's word or God's voice. Let me take a step back. Which is the end of our teaching, so to say. But there are lots of things you don't need God to speak about because it's already written on the pages of scriptures. Well, I hope you know that it's not everything that people do that are wrong today that I have examples of the Bible. Mm-hmm. Let me say this way. It's not everything people are doing today that are wrong that it was written in the Bible. Is that true?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Right? But there are templates that are in the family of those things that are written in the Bible. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Right, so it means that by default, there will be very, 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 very clear things in the Bible. So it means that you will pick those examples to sample the things you want to investigate. Have you gone? You will pick those examples to sample. So whilst the Bible will not tell you left, right, yes, no on lots of matters, you will pick what the Bible says to still investigate those matters. And you will write that right in your heart, you know, you cannot not know. Altogether. So, look at Paul again, Ephesians 5. He says, be ye therefore followers of Christ. That means, be ye therefore followers of light. As their children. And what did he say again? Walk in love. So, is walk in love similar to walk as children of light or part of walk as children of light in verse 8?
Yeah.
So, what did he say in verse 8? He says walk. So, it means he's talking about walk. Altogether. Don't hear what you shouldn't hear. Altogether, you get home, you get it when you get home. I saw some smiles on some faces. I'm like, no. So the walk in here, in the real sense, is a walk that would have a family or that will include walking in love on verse 2. So I walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and sacrifice to God for his sweet smelling savour. Altogether. Look at verse 8 again. For ye were sometimes darkness. So it means there will be an attitude of those that are perpetually in darkness. And also means that there will be some things that are features of those in darkness that will be found amongst people in light. People that have light. You know, before you read chapter 5, you must have read chapter 4. Look at chapter 4. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. And it may minister, that may minister grace unto your hearers. The Bible did not say I should not call anybody stupid. Yes, we understand what you're trying to say. But you have to tear chapter 4 of Ephesians from the Bible, particularly verse 29. So look at verse 30. She says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now says, let all bitterness. Are there believers who operate in bitterness?
Yeah.
Is it because they are not in light? No. Do you think that a man who is operating in bitterness knows what he's doing is wrong?
Mm-hmm.
He has to know. That he doesn't know no is that he has killed the knowing. What to kill the knowing mean? Kill the voice of God. All together. So he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the fine. Now he says, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all what? Malice. So are there believers that keep malice?
Yes.
You don't know believers that keep malice? Okay, go ahead. You're not actually, are you part of them? Okay, you associate with them. Interesting. So, can a believer that has light keep malice? Yes, so you must actually agree that too. That you are a believer doesn't kill the urge to want to keep malice. Are we together? He says, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Right? So, what should be the default expression of a man that has light when he walks in light? Look at verse 32. Be kind one to another. So it means kindness is one of it. Let me also say it differently. Can a man who is in darkness be kind?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or yes?
Yes.
Yes. A man in darkness can be kind. Are we together? Right? So a man in darkness can be kind. A man in light can be bitter. Why do you think that is the case? It is because God has given man the free will. So the reason why it is expected that the believer should be the first one that will express that sense of kindness is because he has something on his inside that will create those nudges.
Mm-hmm.
To prompt you to know that in the real sense, this is what you should be. Are we together? So he says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, reading to your Bible, hath what? Forgiving you. Be ye therefore followers of God. Right? As their children and walk in love. So what does it mean to follow? So it means that following or followership will be different in the context. Following in John 8:12 is what?
Believing.
Following in Ephesians 5 is what? Upon account of believing, follow. That means there are two followings. Are we together? There's the following that's believing. There's the following that on account of that believing, you follow a path. Right? And that path is illuminated with what? With light. So look at verse 8 again. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the light, are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Look at verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and what? Truth. Right? So we are now light in Christ. So we saw on Wednesday, James 1, that God is the Father of what? Light. So if God is the Father of light, it means we are children of what? Light. Right. So look at Colossians. Colossians, we started on Wednesday. Look at Colossians. Colossians 1 verse 12. Colossians 1 verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father of light. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Giving thanks unto the Father of light, which had made us meet to be partakers. What do you think the word meet to partakers will speak about? Look at it very well. It says, which had made us meet. So how would you read verse 12 properly? Can you say, giving thanks to the Father who had, is it who or which?
Mm-hmm.
What is your Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Which, right? So how is a better way to read that? Giving thanks to the Father who had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints in light. What will meat be? Who has made us meat? Can that be who has made us qualified?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So look at it again. Giving thanks to the Father of light who has made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in where?
Light.
So is there an inheritance in Christ that is in the saints?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What is the inheritance? Light. Light as a different subset of Jesus, or light as Jesus himself. Light as Jesus himself. Look at verse 13. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness? Is that back to Genesis?
Yeah.
Right? He had delivered us from the earth that was without form and void. Altogether. So God makes man qualified, and makes man qualified rather to be partakers of the light that is an inheritance in light or in Christ. Altogether. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his what? Dear son. So is the kingdom of his dear son the kingdom of light?
Mm-hmm.
Altogether. Because you see, he first says kingdom, power of darkness. He does not say darkness as next. So he now says the kingdom of his dear son. He now tells you what it means, verse 14. In whom what? We have redemption through his blood. So the kingdom of his dear son is the kingdom of light. So a kingdom that is of light, that is the kingdom of his dear son, is a kingdom that is made up of people who are light. So say I'm light.
I'm light.
Say I'm light,
I'm light
in the kingdom of light.
In the kingdom of light.
Say I have light.
And I'm a member. I'm a citizen
of the kingdom
of light.
Look at 1 John 1. First John chapter 1, verse 2. Are you there? Have you gone?
Mm-hmm.
Who wrote the book of 1 John? Who wrote the book of 1 John now?
John.
John? Yeah, because the name is 1 John. So, who wrote the book of John? Who wrote the book of John? Who wrote the book of Matthew? Then Genesis. Who wrote the book of Mark?
Mark.
Who wrote the book of Luke?
Luke.
Who wrote the book of John?
John.
They wrote the book of Acts?
Luke.
So who wrote the book of 1 John?
John.
Yeah.
So it means that before you read 1 John, you would have read John. Mm-hmm. Now, let me task you a little. Look at 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning. How did John start his first letter, John? In the beginning was the Word. Are we together?
Yeah.
So that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of what? The word of life. Is that John 1?
Yeah.
Is that John 1:1?
Yeah.
John 1:1-3 or 1:1-5? By extension, Genesis 1:1-3.
Yeah.
Are we together? But look at where I'm going to. John now tells you in verse 2, the life was manifested, and we have seen it. And we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So what did the Father have? Eternal life. Is that eternal spirit?
Yeah.
Is that eternal light?
Yeah.
So the spirit moved, God said, let there be light. All eternal. Are we here?
Yeah.
Look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you that ye also may have what? Fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have what? Heard of him, and declare unto you that what? God is light, and in him is no what? Darkness at all. So God is light, and there is no darkness at all. So if God is light, when he communicates, would there be confusion?
No.
Would there be uncertainty?
No.
There will be clarity. The problem is, are we able to know when he talks? Are we together? You know, how many of you have found yourself in situations where you hear the voice of somebody you hold in high esteem, right, in the middle of very strange situations? Yeah, I think I was saying that on Wednesday. I've had people who have reached out to me that they were about to do certain things, and they heard me shout their name, right, and give them a very, very strong scourge, right? Why do you think that's the case? I have people who have said that they've had dreams, and in their dreams, they saw me actually in their dreams scolding them. I was in my room, definitely. I was together, right? Why do you think that's the case? God will usually use familiar voices to speak to you. Write that down. God will usually use familiar voices to speak with you, speak to you. altogether. Right? So it means that we'll look at some examples in scriptures. It will mean that in the real sense, there will be times when you would need to, and not just times, throughout the Christian faith, you must be ready to actually agree that God will speak to you through man. Are we together? A lot of times, the reason why there's safety there is that, especially a man who is, for instance, giving to the world and giving to sound doctrine, for instance, or people who are giving to the world and sound doctrine, the reason is because just because you are a face of growth and you are trying to actually decipher what the voice of God is, at certain times you will not be able to correct yourself. Why? Because your willpower is active, and there are sometimes your flesh just wants you to do certain things. Altogether, right? So God is going to communicate clearly, right? When God communicates clearly, right, we will see that first in the Word. Then we will see that as a conversation of inner witness, inward witness. Then we'll see that as a conversation of believers speaking to other believers. So that's why this series can be titled Recognizing and Knowing, or Recognizing and Following the Leading of the Spirit, which we summarize as inward witness. So does God talk?
Yeah.
When God, so who is God? God is light. When light talks, what will you have, or what will you see? Light, clarity, no darkness, no confusion. So it means that the chief characteristics of God is that there's no darkness. The chief characteristic of God is that there is no darkness. It means there is no confusion. There is no mysteriousness. Are we together? So when God communicates and a man sees it as mysterious, where is the mysteriousness found? In God's communication or the mind of man? It has to be the mind of man. Because do you think you can be more clear than God? Are we together? Are we together? Right? To say that the mysteriousness will be found from the lips of God will mean that you have successfully said that God cannot communicate clearly. So John will tell you, he says, that this then is the message you have heard from him and declare unto you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. So God is light. You know, I said this a few weeks ago. There's a difference between God is light and God has light. Right?
Yes.
If you always look at it as God has light alone, what you will see is that God is in you and there's something he comes with his light. Do you understand? So think about it. So imagine your house. You want to house somebody for a week. Right? Imagine when the person comes, and the person comes with his trolley or with his suitcase. That's even suitcase they come with. That is not bags of things they bring. So if he comes with his suitcase, you know, when the person walks into your house and he walks in with his suitcase, what will you say? The person who has a suitcase walked into my house. Right? So it means that he can walk into your house and leave the suitcase outside. All together. It means that he can walk into your house and leave the what? Suitcase outside. But what we are saying is that that suitcase that the man came with is in himself. So your visitor, so imagine your visitor comes and he says, so a better way to say it is that imagine those people who travel, or they travel because they want to keep space, they want to pay for, extra luggage. They wear all their clothes, button it, wear 5 shirts, and wear a jacket on it, then put blazer on top. Are we together, right? So that one, when they come into your house, what do you say? You have come into my house, you are the baggage, right? You are the suitcase. Right, so you better see it from that angle as it means that you can go to the kitchen and leave your suitcase in the room. Mm-hmm. All together. It's a conversation of when you go to the kitchen, your suitcase has come to the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Hopefully that makes you understand it a little. Right? So when you say God has light, you must always see from the point of whilst God has light, it is in the fact that God is light. Mm-hmm. Are we together? So when you see that God has light, or rather, when you say God has light, you can say God has come into my life, and you can say light has come into my life. Are we together? So, does God have love? God has love. But in the fact that he has love, it really just means that he is loved. So love is not an extra suitcase that follows him. No, God is what? Love. So it means that you can replace love with light, replace light with love. You know the love of God is not just the same way I talked about. Remember when I talked about Zoe, right? When I've talked to you about Zoe is not the life of God. Remember that, right? Same thing, agape. Are we together? Right? Those are just words in the real sense that can be used and added when put in proper context to explain what real life is or love is or whatever it is. Are we together? So look at James 1. Let's see James 1 now. James chapter 1 and 17. James 1, 17. Are you in James 1, 17?
Yes.
Every good gift and every what?
Perfect
gift is from above. The sky? The sky? What is above? That which is what? Heaven. That which is unseen. That is supernatural. Right? So, except the man will be born again, that is born again will be born from above. Right? That is born from the world that is unseen. So, it now says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. What is he really saying? The giver and the gift is perfect. The giver and the giving is perfect. He's seen as perfect. He says, he cometh down from the Father of lights. So, is the Father of lights above? Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Is the Father of lights above? How else can you say Father of Light? So, what is Father of Light is above? Father of Light in heaven. Yeah. What is Father of Light in heaven? Father of Light in your sin. Or Father of Light in the what? Supernatural world. With whom there is no what? Variableness. Neither is there a shadow of what? Turning. Look at verse 18. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Of whom is, of his own will rather, begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, right? So it means that that which is God's characteristics is actually the fact that he's the Father of lights. That means God is the Father of light. That means God is light. So if he is light, it means his offsprings are what? Light. So we are children of light. Is that similar to what Paul was teaching in Ephesians 5:9? You were in darkness, now in light. Walk as children of what? Light. Are you together? Right? So, you know how you have a biological characteristics of your parents, of your father, what you call the DNA. Right? So, what is the, if you want to say God has a DNA, which, and that DNA is what he is, what will you call his DNA? You can call it love. You can call it life. You can call it light. So, if your father that has a DNA called light gives birth to you, you are an offspring of what? Light. So, you have his DNA in you. So, you are not confused. In fact, you are that one who is on earth to bring clarity to chaos. Because God your Father will say, let there be light. And in God speaking, God is rearranging and reordering and bringing order in the midst of chaos. So if that's your Father, it means that you get into situations to bring light into what? Chaos. Right? You get into situations to bring what? Light into what? Darkness. And you quench darkness. Why? Because you are what? The light of the world. Or rather, you are the light from the light of the world. Or you are a child of what? Light. All together. So, it says, of his own will begat. What do you think what begat there is? It's simple. Right? The, of his own will begat will just really speak of the fact that what? He has what? Conceived. That is conception. So, God has conceived you as light in light. Are we together? Right? God has conceived you as light in light. So, if you look at 2 Corinthians quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Is that you here?
Yes.
So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 14. Please, let's read this together. Let's read this together. Are you there?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, go. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with what? Unrighteousness. What communion hath what? Light with darkness. So let's do a quick study. The first thing he says is what? Unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So who are the believers? So is Paul contrasting? Is Paul contrasting? What is he contrasting between believer and unbeliever? Look at the next statement. What does he say? He says, for what fellowship righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? So what is the second word for fellowship? Communion. In that verse, communion. What is the second word for communion?
Believers.
Look at it again. What is the second word for fellowship in verse 14?
Communion.
We got that one. What is the second word for communion in verse 14? Okay, what is the third? Exactly. What is communion about? Equally or unequally yoked together. What is fellowship? We fellowship, that means we participate together in certain things. That is fellowship, that is communion, that is... So, why is it called unequally yoked together? It is because both of you are not on the same power. Are we together? Who are the both of you? Believer and what? Unbeliever. Is he saying though our friends that are unbelievers? No, that's not what he's saying. It means you need to pay attention to what is unequally yoked together with. Are we together? You see, the Bible is clear on so many conversations. For example, go through 1 Corinthians, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 9, 10, 11, and even 12, 11, 13, 14, also 16. You actually find out that there are certain clear-cut instructions that are written in the Bible. You know, I've had people who have reached out to me that the only people that minister love to them is an unbeliever. I want to get, say, Pastor, there's somebody I want to marry. And the funny thing, there's one very interesting lady, and she told me every good thing about the guy, waiting for me to accept him. Then now through the little salt, is an unbeliever. what a very cunning way to approach this thing. Right? You first told me, he does philanthropy, he does this, he's the heart of God, the desire of God. After this, wow, that's lovely. When did you meet him? He spoke those words. Pastor, he's one of my dream converts. Your dream convert. Your dream convert. And you think that man of this world, man in this generation, is somebody that will change for you after marriage just because he wants to marry. All together. Right, so so some people are asking again. So Pastor Israel said we should first convince him or convert him first. Well, that's up to you. Hopefully, in that journey, don't convert you. Are we together? I said, after all, we're all serving the same God. Eventually, that will be your conclusion. Right? There are some facts. Do not be unequally yoked. It's clear. There's no polished way, there's no sub way or substandard way of saying it. Pastor, what is wrong in marrying unbelievers? Maybe all of us are God, we're all born of God, and God just loves everybody together. And it's in the Bible. He's in the Bible. Are we together? Mm-hmm. I know the conversation about a lady and a couple actually. And one of the things they thought about was the fact that the woman or the man, one of them, really just get confused about that. Well, one of them wants to engage in spiritual activity, that is to fast and to deprive the other one of due benevolence. Are we here? So what's the benevolence? I've not heard your voice throughout today. The first thing I'm hearing your voice is benevolent. And you are smiling. Right? Paul will tell you, don't go on fasting. I wish it's in the Bible. Don't go on, he's talking to married people.
Yeah.
Right? Don't go on a fasting. Sister Rose. He will last last. He will last 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 best. When I go to First Corinthians, let me show you. Before you say, I've brought my own again. Mm-hmm. So look at First Corinthians 7. So there's something that's clear. So you don't need inward witness separate for some tips. Look at First Corinthians 7. Now concerning the things whereof he wrote unto me. That means this thing was so much of a concern that the Corinthians actually wrote to Paul. That means when you see it as a concern today, it's not new. And look at verse 1 again. He says, it is not good for a man not to touch a woman. Okay. I thought you would follow me. Right? So look at it. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid what? Fornication. Let every man have his own wife. Above Jesus. Above Jesus. Just say above Jesus. So, nevertheless, to avoid. So, who is the man that should not touch his wife or a woman in verse 7?
Oh, sorry.
Be careful. Be careful. Right? How can you say married man? It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Who is this man?
Married.
Are we together? That's why the solution is married. Yeah. You get that? So it is good, nevertheless, to avoid fornication. So what should be the primary goal to avoid? So what does it mean to touch a woman then? I'll close this chapter now. I will close. Be careful. People of God, this touching a woman here, is that touching outside of an ideal?
Yes.
What is the name we call it in verse 2? Fornication. Funny words. I hope you see in that Bible, in that verse, some words are italics, but not fornication. So it was there. Okay? Let every man have his own wife and let every woman have their own husband. One. Are we together? So it means that you cannot be led to marry another woman. It is one husband, one wife. It's Bible. Are we together? Right? Not the one that you say you saw a woman and because you saw the woman, because she looks like she was suffering, wanted to just bring her into, just to take care of her suffering, you say you now marry her as your second wife. So look at verse 3. Let the husband rain down to his wife. Yeah. So who is he talking to? Husband? Wife. Render unto the wife, deal what?
Benevolence.
And likewise, also the wife unto the husband. Do you need to pray about it? Do you need to pray about it? So in case you are not sure what due benevolence is, right? So due benevolence is the benevolence that is due unto a man or unto a woman. Both ways. Right? So look at verse, how did I get to this today? Anyways, look at verse 4. The wife hath not power of her own body. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
But the husband, and likewise also the husband, hath not power of his own body, but the wife. So as a man, who owns your body? Take it easy. As a married man, who owns your body? As a man, normally, who owns your body? You own your body. You own your body. Are we here? Are we together? The only reason why somebody else owns your body is when you entered into the institution of marriage. So when you now enter, what happens? You have moved. Not by might. Yeah? So you've crossed over. Who owns your body? Your partner owns your body. Okay, you don't need to pray about that. Look at verse 5. Defraud ye not one the other. So Paul uses a very strong word there. What does he mean by defraud? He says, except it be with consent for a time. What does it mean to defraud? Defraud will mean to decide that you own your body when you don't own your body. Right? So you are deciding that you are not going to give due benevolence. So when you decide that you're not going to give due benevolence to your husband or to your wife, what are you doing? Like defrauding. That means that requires police. Are we together? Right? So Paul will say, defraud you one, not one of the other, except it be with consent. Please, what is the next line he says there? Except it be with consent, what?
For
a time, that means a period. What does consent for a period mean? It means husband and wife, right, we agree. That ye may give yourselves to what? Fasting and what? Prayer. So it means that on the account of fasting and prayer, you can decide to stay away. For a what? Time, right? And what? You see, Paul did not put full stop there to say, do anything you want to do after that. He says, when you stay away for a time, what happens? You come together again. So that what? The Satan will not tempt you for what? Incontinency. Lack of what? Self-control. I was together. But I speak this by permission and not of command. For I would that all men were even as myself. You are your own. But, why are you laughing? Is he not on his own?
Is he really
Brother Paul is on his own on this one. He comes to finish work, salvation rises, and I'm with him. But this one, my brother, you are on your own, sir. Every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried. So look at what you pay attention to carefully today. How did I get here? But I think we'll get on from this. I say, therefore, unto the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. That's your goodness. But if they cannot contain, what will be, what do you mean to contain?
Self-control.
Are we together? So if they cannot contain, what do you do? Let them marry. Are we together? Let them marry. So it means this is a very interesting part. You see, I'm reading from the Bible. Right? So this is a very interesting scripture. Right? So a lot of people, what they get from here is because they don't want to be self-controlling themselves, they go and marry. So they forget about the human being they are with. And forget about all the red and purple and green flags they've seen. And just because of the sake of what? Containing what you marry. And you forget that in the real sense, you are getting yourself married into that conversation is committing yourself to a lifelong conversation. All together. Right? So let the unmarried, if they cannot connect to verse 9, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. You see, Paul uses several words: burn, defraud, incontinency. It was just meeting. So for you to see that Paul is answering this, he's telling you actually that you're reading today. This was a question the Corinthians had.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not today. Are we together? So when you see a woman or a man who will say that I'm not going to give my due benevolence to my wife or my husband because I want to go on a long trip with Jehovah. What does that mean? Prayer and fasting. What are you doing? You are doing. You don't need inward witness for that. So the inward witness you should have is already in the Bible. Altogether. Now, is it wrong for in the middle of fasting? So if you actually reach out to your partner, for instance, right, and you say you want to stay for a while so you can fast, and you know you can actually break your fast in the middle, come home, and continue your fast. On the account that I did not agree. And no, I'm not saying me, the partner. We're together. On the account that your partner does not agree. He says you must come to a middle ground. So you just come and say, girl, I had the pastor today. The pastor gave me a burning desire for shows. Right? And God has asked you to go for 300 days drive fast. So if your husband is not on the same page with you, what do? You owe him. The worst thing that can happen is both of you meet in the middle ground. And unfortunately, the middle ground might not be 150. Middle ground might not be 150, it might be 10. So middle will, see, that's mathematics. So middle will not always go through the mathematical way of divide by two. Middle ground will be, you will still fast, but you understand? That's middle ground, right? So look at what it says in verse 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not your wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Then let's not go over this. Into this. But there's a particular part I want you to see. Okay. This will help you explore how to explain our love. Look at verse 12. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she pleased to dwell, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. What is he really saying? He's saying, if both of you get married as unbelievers, and one becomes a believer, don't now go back and pick the scripture that says unequally yoked. Did you get that? Did you know what I just said? Right? Both of you were unbelievers. You married as an unbeliever. One of you now became born again. Then you not, because the Bible says do not be unequally yoked with the unbeliever. You now say somebody you are already tired of. You are tired of your partner. You now say I'm not doing it again because the Bible says do not be unequally. What does light and belly have to do anything with? You understand? What fellowship and light and darkness? That's not that. What is saying? I'm speaking to you. Don't on account of that say I'm not doing it again. He says the woman will look at verse 13 now. The woman which hath a husband that believeth not. And if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. altogether. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are holy. But if the unbelieving departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. You see the case. It's clear. You see the case, right? But God has called us to peace. For what knowest thou? Let me jump to another one. Now, look at verse 25. Brethren, look at verse 24. Look at verse 23. Look at verse 22. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price, but not ye the servants of men. Be ye not the servants of men, rather. Look at 24, brethren. Let every man wherein he is called, therefore abide with God. Now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. This virgin here, is he abstinence of sex? How do you know he's unmarried? Look at it carefully. Now, concerning the unmarried, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that had obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou born unto a wife, seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife, seek not a wife. And if thou marry, thou have not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she had not sinned. Right? So, if a virgin marry, she had not sinned. What does that mean? If the unmarried is married, he's not a saint. Right? Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but the spirit. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. Look at verse 32. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried care for the things that belongs to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married care for the things that are of the world, how he may please his what? Wife. There is no difference also between a wife and a what? There's a difference between what? Yeah. A wife and a virgin. What is a virgin there?
A
wife and a not wife or non-wife. That is unmarried. Are we together? The unmarried woman care for the things of the Lord that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But she that is married care for the things of the world that what the things of the world? Do you benevolence? All together. How she may what? Please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and then return the Lord without destruction. But if any man think that he behaves himself uncomely towards the virgin, if she pass the flower of the age, and need to so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. Right? So look at 38. So then he that giveth her in marriage does well, but he that giveth her not in marriage does better. The wife is bound by the law as long as the husband liveth and all that. So what is really teaching here, basically? Right? He's trying to teach that, you know, in this world, very interesting world, we're in a world right now where lots of virgins, what is virgins? Unmarried. Are we together? Lots of unmarried are using all their married life and years to what? Think about what? Marriage. Are we together? I know the first interesting thing. When they now finally marry, they use all their marriage life to think about when I was not married. It's so ridiculous, right? You have a dream marriage, you have a dream life, dream car. You think marriage is by day ceremony. Right? You have a dream wedding, you have go, here comes the bride, here comes the rose. Right? And they have to sing it. Then you start. Man is unique, but that's how you must see it. Right? And you stand at the gate and you carry your long train. Right? Train that five people are struggling to lift from the ground. Right? When you now enter, you now realize this person you ended up with. You start telling him, If we did not marry, will you be asking me to do? Will I be waking up to cook for you? Right? The point is, you are married. So you start thinking like someone that is married. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, lots of ladies in our generation right now that I've had conversations with are usually in a very interesting position when it comes to marriage. You know what happens? It shocks them. Let me tell you, their sisters and brothers who are unmarried. Right? When it comes to the conversation of being unmarried, right? Use your time to think of how to please the Lord well. Mm. I hope you know, unmarried also includes boyfriend and girlfriend. Mm. You not know? wait. See, you must know this. There are only two stages of people in this world.
You're married.
Or married and married. Either you've been dating for 20 years, are we together? And you've been traveling all the whole world with all the private jets and going for skydiving. You are still what?
Married.
The Bible says you are still a virgin. How about Jesus? So there are only two types of people, right? The married and the married. So what is Paul teaching? Use your unmarried life to care for the things of the Lord. Now, it's not saying when you marry, you will not care for the things of the Lord. It's trying to say that because it is godly to give part of your affection and heart to your husband or your partner, right? There's every tendency you might not be as giving and committed as you were during your what? Marriage day. All together. So go back to where I am, 2 Corinthians 6. Let me try to close up today so we can go into some, singing and, close the service from here. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter, where were you again? Chapter 6?
Yeah.
Look at 14. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship and righteousness with righteousness and what communion has what? Light with dark. So he's making a contrast between light and darkness. So who is the believer? The believer is going to be light. Who is the unbeliever? Going to be what? Darkness. So light is the believer. Believers are called light. What is light? Light is direction. So does a married man or woman have light regarding matters of marriage?
Yeah. Yes.
Where is it from? In the Bible. So you see the marriage is not without light. So you know if you read Ephesians 5 where I read today, Ephesians 4 and 5, where I read earlier today, and read 1 Corinthians 7, right? You know, those are two solid instructions to the husband and wife. So does the husband know how to be kind-hearted to the wife?
Yeah.
Is that based on inward witness? Yes and no. Yes, in the fact that it's already in scriptures. Mm-hmm. No, in the fact that you don't need a prompting to tell you that be kind, affectionate, and be forgiving one another. Mm-hmm. Are we together? Mm-hmm. So it means that you're going to pay attention to, you would have to give yourself to God's word particularly to know what God will have you do in particular situations. So you know that when you get married, right, or if you decide to be a non-brother Paul, right, you can decide to be a Peter. Both Peter and Paul serve God.
Yes.
We're together. Yeah? And you can decide to be a Paul. It's up to you. There's no command in the Bible that says every man must marry, every woman must marry. The pressure on people getting married before a certain age is the pressure of this world. Up of Jesus. The pressure of this world is what makes you think that. You know, I remember when I was growing up, I used to hear things from people. Let me not tell you who I hear them from. But yet it's like, a lady is like a flower. And the best time to pluck her is in her 20s. And if you allow her to cross into late 20s, into 30s, she begins to what? Wither. Are we together? Right? So, you're yet. And before you know it, all those statements subconsciously begin to program people. Right, you see people, I saw a picture of someone saying, this time in my life, I thought by now I'd already have 3 children being around me. I'm still passing my ex. You see, that is just life. It's just what it is. Right? So in the real sense, you ought to be that person who would give yourself voraciously to God's word. Right? And you must actually know that when you are unsingle, unmarried rather, you are what? Giving your attention span to God. Hallelujah. When you are married as well, you give your attention span to God. Is that not the same? It's the same thing. Same instruction. But because you don't have any attachment, emotional, obligations and all of those things, when you are unmarried, that's what Paul is just thinking about. Stay as I am. Right? Joshua left for some group. So, if you look at verse 15, what concord at Christ with Belial? So it means that Belial is darkness. Belial is unrighteousness. Belial is unbeliever. Christ is light. Christ is what again? Righteousness. Yeah. Christ is what? Believer. So the believer is in Christ. Yeah? So at what concord at Christ with Belial, or what part at he that believeth with an infidel? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wait, that word infidel, do you think it to be an abstract word? He's describing two things, righteousness and righteousness. That is believer, unbeliever. Right, so Belial, infidel, they are all in the same water group with what? Unbeliever or unrighteousness. Look at verse 16. Let's read verse 16 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, be their God, and they shall what? Be my people. Are we together? So light is that which the saint has become upon what? Following Jesus. Upon being what? Born again. So the Father gives an inheritance to those who will conceive, and the inheritance he gives is the inheritance of what? Life, true light. Say, I have the light of God.
I have the light of God.
Say, I dwell in the kingdom of light.
I dwell in the kingdom.
Say, I'm full of light.
I'm full of light.
Say, there's no darkness.
There's no darkness.
There's no confusion.
There's no confusion.
God is my Father.
God is my Father.
I'm a child of light.
I'm a child of light.
So let's go in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. He says, and because he has sons, God has sent forth his spirit. How else can you read that? Because he has sons, God has sent forth his light. Because he has sons, God has sent forth his life. Because he has sons, God has sent forth his what? His word, his righteousness. I was together. Because he has sons, God has sent forth his spirit, the spirit of his son, into your heart, crying what? Abba, Father. Right? The word there, Abba, is just a word that shows a relationship. Are we together? Right? Crying, Father, Father, Abba, Father. Are we together? So say, God is my Father.
God is my Father.
Say, I boast in this.
I boast in this.
Say, I boast in this.
I boast in this.
Say, God is my Father.
God is my Father.
Say, I'm not fatherless.
I'm not fatherless.
Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God in us is the life of God in us, that is the light of God in us, that is the another comforter in us, that is the one that comes to us, and we are never what? Helpless. Are we together? Are we together? So you know what to do, right?
Yes, sir.
You're not confused. You know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what to do, right? You know what to do. You know what to do. You know how to obey God's voice. Say, I can obey God's voice.
I can obey God's voice.
Say, I know how to obey God's voice.
I know how to obey
God's voice. Say, I'm alive unto God.
I'm alive unto
God. Say, I'm alive unto God.
I'm alive unto
say,
God.
Say, I obey God's voice.
I obey God's
voice. I obey God's instruction.
I obey God's instruction.
I'm a follower of God.
I'm a follower of God.
I'm a follower of light.
I'm a follower of light.
I'm not confused.
I'm not confused.
There's no contradiction on my path.
There's no contradiction.
No confusion on my path.
No confusion.
There is clarity to me.
There's clarity.
For God is the God of clarity.
See,
I'm a son of God, and I have clarity,
and
I know what to do,
and
I know how to do what to do,
and
I will do
what I have to do.
Hallelujah. Right? So what does that mean? It means that when you walk out of this place today, you always remind yourself that you know what to do. So in fact, you get yourself into positions and situations where it looks like there's nothing that needs to be done, or nothing can be done. But in the real sense, God is actually very ever-present for you there. And it's actually there to guide you through what you do. Are we together? And you know, in the real sense, this is not about carnal... Let me say it better. So let me say it this differently. You know, a man can have two job opportunities, right? And he's praying for the union of the Spirit. But you know that without praying, the man can actually sit down, ponder on it, and hear God's voice with it, and know what to do. I'll give you a typical example of myself. You know, after my master's a couple years ago, I had an opportunity to go away from town, that is away from Abuja where I was based, you know, into a different city in Nigeria, just to get a job. I was literally able to get a job that was going to pay me almost three times more, an offer that was almost three times more the offer I had in Abuja. But I didn't need to pray about it. Why? Because I've given myself so much more to God's word that I knew what to do. Right? And it's a training you would have to actually learn by giving yourself to sound doctrine. I didn't need to pray about it. Thought about it. This one will want to send me to the bush, not necessarily bush, to the, you know, what do you call it, shore, offshore, onshore, and all those things. Right? Now, I'll be away from Abuja. Am I ready to be flying into Abuja every week? So I told some people about it, and they're like, ah, is everything wrong? Don't you know that the gospel needs money? Yeah, the gospel is only, you would have gone there and even start a small fellowship around there. I've gone there yesterday, one small fellowship, and just start gathering together. You know, but really, they need to pray about it. So you have yourself in that. You know, highest bidder is not always God's will. You know, right? The richest man, there's some ladies, and I spoke to a lady very recently, and she told me a narrative of two guys that are trying to you know, what was the word in the 21st century?
Chaik.
Chaik, a Greek word. Yeah, they're trying to chaik her, they're trying to toast her, right? And what I realized, as I said, I tried to listen to where is her heart really? It was little, I used back door. I used back door to know. And from the back door, I knew that the reason why she attracted to this brother, even though he's not fervent, is because this brother is earning in foreign currency. So those of us know that's the leading of the Spirit. You see, for God is a great provider. He's a great provider. He will surely provide for me. And you already heard your pastor say that when God provides, he provides through men. You see, you now join everything together. Henson that says, I didn't come this life to
suffer.
Okay, you know it. We all know it, right? We are born again. Glory to the Lamb. Are we together? So, you see, your mind can mix it together and you make a message and you run with it. And a brother who groaning without groaning without finance. We not finance my growth. Pastor, we need money to, Pastor, this Bible, you say, Pastor, let me ask you a question. What are you holding? You're teaching from Bible. What do you use to buy the Bible money? You see, you need money for the gospel. Pastor, where is it for church? If this one comes there, and I want to bring him to church, somebody who only goes to church once in a year, are we together? And you clearly see somebody who's going to church and is a committed leader. Like when you see them pray, they come, they go. Right? Then the one that has more money, because his perfume, envelopes your heart. There's some perfume that envelop your heart, starting from your nose. And you are full. And like, see, Pastor, anytime I'm just around him, I feel warmth. They are pursuing you from your father's land that you did not know. It takes someone to tell you. So a lot of times when you talk about leaning on the Spirit, a lot of us have limited leaning on the Spirit to conversation around marriage alone. Now, some people, after they say God led them, they've now been led, they've married. That God cannot continue leading them again. Say that I didn't know it was like this. So I know some people as well. This word. There's some people. The reason why they got into that brother is because he's fervent. But because they don't know his fervency level, because they were not together. Now they've come together, they've seen his fervency, they say, this fervency is, I did not know. This one is, let's pray every morning. There should be movie time now. You should go and eat popcorn and, that kind of things. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But really, you were led to marry a spirit-led brother. So a lot of us are looking for those balance. Tall, light-skinned, little sprinkle of money here and there, little good perfume, of the Holy Ghost as well, right? And eventually, we now see that a lot of people now make decisions on very ridiculous things. Are we together? Right? Give what the Paul tell you now that you're not married. Give yourself to God.